As we keep you updated with the latest news and happenings around campus, University President Patrick Leahy talks about the most recent news, summer classes to be held remotely, along with the impact of all the other events planned during the course of the summer months. This is Matt Harmon, and it's time for episode 4 of Monmouth Weekly. Thanks as always for joining us. Well, it is certainly crazy to think this is the fourth episode of our Monmouth Weekly show. I'm Matt Harmon, member of the communication faculty, alongside President Patrick Leahy, who is, of course, the university president. This idea is certainly something that I would have hoped President Leahy by now maybe would be able to do this in person. But as the coronavirus pandemic continues to evolve, we are still in our house. I'm at mine. You are at yours. I wish you a very good afternoon here on a Tuesday in early April.
Yeah, it's good to be with you again, Matt, even if we have to do this virtually yet again.
You know, you think of it, and because this is now the fourth episode, it means we're about a month into essentially the shutdown of campus. The idea of how things have changed and evolved over the course of a month is staggering in a way. Decisions continue to be made. Things continue to happen. We've got a lot to catch up on this fourth episode, but I want to start with something that has become near and dear to your heart. Last week when we talked, we finished with the President's Relief Fund. And I think at that point you said just about 200. I want to say 170. Maybe that was the number that you said. Checks were on their way out. As that continues to come about, I'm sure there are more students who have applied, which means there's probably more students have been granted some sort of financial relief.
Yeah, I am really proud about this project because it is so typical of the Monmouth University spirit. And so many people around the campus have been involved in making this happen. Yes, last week, I think I told you, we sent out 170 checks. This week, today, I think, in the mail will be 217 more checks. Now, these are, remember, small grants. I don't want to overstate the size of the grants. In fact, the average grant size is about $330. So I don't want to overstate it. But for the students who are facing really hardship situations, Matt, this money is coming at a critically important time. It allows them to pay for food, access to the internet from home that they wouldn't otherwise have. If both parents are out of work or whatever the case may be, we just wanted to make sure that our students know that help is on the way. Even if it's deemed modest help, it's nonetheless on the way from their university. So I'm really thrilled with how this is developing.
And if memory is serving me correct, and it would be something that I'm sure we'll talk about from week in to week out, this was, in a way, money that was just set aside for you to use at your discretion when needed. I mean, who would have ever thought it would have been in a situation in a case like this? But like anything else, I mean, at some point that money, once it goes out, it's certainly not going to come back unless there are people that are interested in donating and becoming part of it, which is something I know that you're open to.
Yeah, you know, I'll just tell you a little bit about it. It was this president's discretionary fund that I inherited, of course, when I arrived last summer. And the only time we had tapped it to this point was when one of our superstar students was granted an opportunity to study at Oxford University. I mean, only two Americans are invited to study in this particular study abroad program. And one of our students, Mackenzie Ricca, was one of them. And she just flat out could not afford it. So I tapped the president's discretionary fund for a small grant to help make that possible for her. Then when this global pandemic arrived in Monmouth County, and we started hearing these stories of students and some of the real genuine financial hardship, I thought of this fund and, as you point out, figured there's no better use for this discretionary fund than to offer this kind of relief. We have spent it down already through just the first two rounds, we've spent it down. So we're looking around the university to try to find some other unrestricted endowments that we could tap. Some people are both on the Monmouth University campus and in the community have heard about it and have asked me how they might support it. I've made it very clear, Matt, that I'm not going to aggressively go out and raise money right now. I just don't think that would be appropriate for our university. But let's be honest, if our students are in this kind of financial hardship, there are people in our community that want to help. And of course, I welcome that if they're interested. And all they have to do is go to monmouth.edu/relief and get more information about the relief fund. And there is a button on that page where someone could make a gift if they were so inclined. Again, I'm not going out aggressively and raising money for it, but I just know there are individuals in the Monmouth community who, when they hear about this, would want to be a part of it. And I want to make it available to them.
You know, President Leahy, from where you came from before you were at Monmouth, a small university in Wilkes, where you were the president there for 7 years, and now in your first full year at Monmouth, you know, tight-knit communities, I think, would be the idea here. And listening to your last answer, thinking, even in a small way, can Monmouth reach out to their student body and feel like they are connecting during this time? I would think it would be the same thing if you were still at a university like Wilkes, where there is that kind of small knit community feel to it. But I know for you, having almost now a one-on-one relationship with the students that are applying and then you sending out and giving them some sort of financial relief probably makes you feel in a way really good.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Does it ever? I mean, it does provide an opportunity to feel connected to the students. I mean, I try to do that anyway. I mean, we're not so large. I always feel that even at 6,000 students, we're not so large that the students, they should expect to know their university president, you know who I am at least, and maybe more importantly, get to know me a little bit. And I try to do that by being as engaged in the life of the university as possible. But in a situation like this, we always say we can't help our students if we don't know about their challenges. And I got to be careful because I can't overcommit what we're going to be able to do. But this relief fund just gives us that little bit of extra that we can send out to help relieve the tension that exists, we know, in students' lives as a result of this crisis. But remember, Matt, this is the relief fund is the least of it. We've already talked in previous episodes about the institutional commitment to refund, on a pro rata basis, room, meal, and parking fees. The institutional commitment to keep any student who had on-campus work whole on those on-campus jobs, even if it's going to be hard to do that work over the next few weeks. I mean, we're trying really hard to make sure that our students know that the university's got their back during this crisis. And it does bring the community together in a way that I think is really meaningful for those of us who are engaged in this work.
You can find out more information about the President's Relief Fund. Go to monmouth.edu. You'll find all the information right there. President Patrick Leahy joining us. This is Monmouth Weekly. I'm Matt Harmon. And President Leahy, you know, as you look at it, having that connection, I know you have done some things via social media and you are in contact with members of, let's say, student government, the SGA. How often would you say during a week-to-week basis, how many students are you having one-on-one or group, you know, whether it's Zoom or text messages, phone calls? How many people of the student body are you talking with on a week-to-week basis?
Not nearly enough. I wish I could be even more actively engaged. You know, during this crisis, whenever I send out a message to the campus community or to the students, I say at the end, very intentionally, that if you have any questions or concerns or you have any feedback, I hope that you can reach out to me directly. And my promise to all of our campus constituents is that they'll get an answer from me directly, Now, I may need to get others involved to get them the best information to answer their question or what have you. But I just feel like it's an important role for the university president, especially at a school of our size, to be that actively involved in helping our community through this crisis. So I think, you know, even though we're physically separated, I'm in touch with 300 or 400 people on an individual basis every week, answering emails mostly or making telephone calls. And then I think, you know, I do these large sort of open calls with faculty and staff. And I tried to do one with the students. It did not go very well. So I'm going to try that again. But, you know, I'm just trying to stay as connected as possible. You know, my mantra that while we're physically separated, we need to stay emotionally connected. And I just feel like it's fun for me to be in that role. And it's something that I feel about which I feel very strongly.
You know, this is something that I thought of asking you last week, and it just didn't come up in conversation. But as we change gears and maybe update on some of the latest news in terms of summer schedule and things like that, which we can get into in a second, how much time do you spend, if any, talking and working with other universities of Mama's size, whether it's in New Jersey, outside of New Jersey, private schools that are in that, you know, 6,000 student range when you factor in undergrad and graduate students, in order to just have other than Monmouth people have to bounce ideas off of?
It's a great question, and it's very important for, I think, probably all university presidents, but for me in particular, not only to get that thought leadership from other like-minded institutions, you know, they get that intellectual exchange because they're dealing with the same problems that we are. And I think there's opportunities to learn from one another. But I think there's also the sort of emotional support, if you will, that we can lend to one another. So there's two groups in particular with whom I'm very engaged. The first is the Association of Independent Colleges and Universities of New Jersey, which is the 14 private higher ed institutions in the state. I'm on the phone with them every few days, and now it's settling into just about every week with them. But at the beginning of this crisis, it was every few days on the phone with them. And then the other great opportunity I have is that I was just elected to the national board for the National Association of Independent Colleges and Universities. In fact, I just joined the board a few weeks ago, and that plugs me into college and university presidents, private ones in particular, all over the country. So I have plenty of individuals whose wisdom I can tap and whose support I can count on during this crisis.
When you think of it, I hate to say that it probably was not unexpected, but I'm sure still disappointing to have to make the announcement that you did yesterday. And that is that summer classes all during the course of the summer, no matter what the session, will now be offered remotely instead of on campus and in person.
We're making these decisions on a rolling basis. And this was the most recent set of decisions that we needed to make, Matt. And as you point out, we elected to go remote instruction and learning for the entire summer. There's a new session, as you know. We'll finish up, we'll wrap up and complete this spring semester. But then, of course, we offer as robust a summer a set of courses as possible to allow students to continue to progress. They may want to catch up if they've fallen behind, or they may want to get ahead. And over the years, as we've grown that summer activity, Matt, increasing amounts of it have migrated to online delivery anyway, to make it convenient for students who are working during the summer and want to bang out a class when they can, or they want to go home, of course, for the summer, but they want to take the course from Monmouth University, not from their, you know, local institution back home. Online delivery in general allows for that flexibility. And we were trying to encourage that anyway. Well, with this coronavirus situation, we just had to make the decision that all of that programming has to now migrate to remote, because we're just not sure when we're going to be allowed to bring people back to campus. If you listen to the governor, he'll tell you he thinks this is at least going to go well into May. And remember, when he starts relaxing the social distancing, it doesn't mean it's going to get turned off all at once. He's going to have to probably wind that down over the summer. And we just don't know when we'd be able to offer on-ground courses again. So we just made the decision that all of the summer programming will be delivered in a remote fashion, in a high-quality remote fashion. And our hope is it will still allow students that flexibility that they seek anyway. The one thing I'll add is we're holding out still an opportunity if in the latter part of the summer the social distancing's relaxed enough that we could add some on-ground, on-campus courses for the latter sessions, that we would, you know, hold out the flexibility to do so. But right now, we've just made the declarative statement, all the programming that's scheduled now will be remote.
Well, I think too, if you factor in the idea that there are five summer sessions, A, B, C, D, and E, you know, different dates of start, different dates of finish, I would think just from ease of use for someone who might be thinking, hey, I still want to take my summer class, they don't have to worry, well, oh, summer A, that's going to be remote. Summer E, as of right now, that could be in person, but it might be remote. I think the idea of it is probably just to try and make it as user-friendly as possible, right?
Yeah, exactly. Just give as much clarity in an uncertain world as possible. The other thing that we were able to do as part of that, which might be really relevant to our students, is that our faculty council passed a resolution to continue this flexible grading policy that we instituted throughout the summer as well. And my hope is that that will give students some comfort that there'll be flexibility in the way in which they can be assessed for this summer like they are this spring.
As you mentioned, President Leahy, in a previous answer, you know, trying to get maybe the summer classes to go a little bit more of that hybrid or strictly online format, because it does certainly make it maybe more attractive to students or flexible for students. Is there a scenario, even in a crazy world as we're sitting in right now and for the foreseeable future, is there a scenario where you could see actually classes maybe being busier or more populated because all of them now are just remote and online?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not counting on it yet this year, Matt, because there's so much other uncertainty in our world. But going forward, I could see the expansion of online programming in the summer growing our summer numbers. I mean, that is clearly there's a flexibility that our students want. And I always say that I want Monmouth University to offer those online courses, because my fear is if we don't, that those students might find those online opportunities elsewhere and just elect to transfer the credit in. And I would rather our first class faculty have the opportunity to teach our students. So I think online delivery in the summer is a particularly attractive application for students.
You know, in a strange way, during a strange period, this and a lot of the things that Monmouth faculty-wise, university-wise, is trying and attempting, whether it's the remote instruction, how faculty can interact with students, the idea of the summer classes now being all done remote and online, it's almost becoming, in a weird way, a testing ground to see what could work and what could not work for the future of the university going forward.
You know, I'm a huge fan of online delivery in certain student segments, Matt. I always have to make clear that I believe very strongly in the four-year residential experience for undergraduates, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. But I think there are other students who because of their life situation or what have you, are really interested in online delivery. So I've been a huge fan of being able to to serve students how they want to be served and have wanted to encourage online delivery anyway. I never in a million years imagined having to change so abruptly as we've had this spring. But I do think one of the silver linings of this global pandemic might be that faculty were forced to try some things that they might not otherwise have had to. Staff have been forced to try to support faculty in ways that they otherwise not have had to, and that we might learn some things that will make us a better university in the future. So I know that the transition, given how abruptly it had to happen, was tough. But my hope is as we settle into it and we learn some things and we're willing to share what's working and what isn't, that we can come out of the other end of this stronger instructionally than we were even before it.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the other pieces of the announcement, the email that went out to the campus community yesterday. Unfortunately, as Monmouth makes that transition into summer classes being held remotely and online, there are a couple, and I'll say, casualties along the way. Alumni weekend, which was scheduled for June 12th through the 15th, that is something that right now has to be postponed.
It is. And I was really looking forward to that. It would have been my first alumni weekend. I've met a ton of our alums over my first, 8 or 9 months, but was really looking forward to that opportunity to connect with more of our alums. We just decided, Matt, that the prudent thing to do right now is to give people the clarity that we're canceling it. And it was a little bit easier because we know that we can fold a lot of those component pieces to alumni weekend into an even more robust, exciting, enthusiastic homecoming weekend in October. So because we knew we had a good alternative, I think we just decided it was best for us to make that call now. And to be honest, in mid-June, I don't see the governor allowing us to have 2,000 people events that quickly. Maybe I'm wrong, but we just decided that we could give people the clarity that they are seeking right now, especially given that we had a very good alternative for those events.
And then if you've ever been up towards campus during the course of any time really of the year, it's always busy and there's always a lot going on. And you might think, the summertime, it kind of quiets down, but there are so many things that take place, whether it's events, camps, sports camps, other types of camps. The campus, in a way, during the course of the summer could be perceived as busy, if not busier, with just a different population. What's the latest on some of those in terms of, hey, I want to sign up my son, daughter for a program or event, a camp that they've been going to for years during the course of the summer in Monmouth? I know right now that probably is, can I say accurately, the pause button in a way has been hit on that in terms of making a decision?
It has, in part because we don't want to remove those opportunities too prematurely. So we've committed that we'll have answers to those to the question around whether those events are going to go or not by May 1st. That gives us 3 weeks or 4 weeks still to get a feel for how this public health crisis is unfolding, Matt. But we didn't want to go ahead and cancel those because a lot of our staff and faculty and others in the community rely on those summer camps to keep the kids sort of active during those periods. And we just didn't want to remove those opportunities just yet. So we'll give ourselves a few more weeks and then we'll commit by May 1st to making a call on those so that if we have to cancel them, we can give parents enough heads up to find other alternatives. Some of them, I'll just add too, if I may, that you're absolutely right about how active universities are in the summer. And I want them to, our university to be even more active. I have this thing that I want Monmouth University to be a 12-month university. And that is, I want to make sure that even those 3 or 4 months in the summer where we're not in our traditional academic year, that we're doing as much as possible to look and feel and act like a university. More academic programming, more camps and conferences on campuses, more athletic opportunities. It is very busy as it already. We want it to be increasingly so in the summertime. It's just that this year we just have this pandemic that's casting a pall over all of those other very interesting activities that we would have in the summer.
You know, President Leahy, I took listen, you have nothing but time on your hands in a way, depending on the day. I took a nice long bike ride during the course of last week up towards campuses, and I kind of pedaled through, and I came across one of the few people that was there, one of the members of the grounds personnel on campus. Spent a minute or two just saying hello and kind of checking in. I know you have done a really good job in these Monmouth Weeklies, kind of pointing out a couple of people who have either helped make decisions, kept the university up and going. I mean, the staff people that are there right now have really done, and the campus was absolutely pristine as I biked through it. They have done an amazing job of making it look like, if needed and necessary, the campus could open up at a moment's notice.
What I hate more than anything right now is the fact that the campus is about as pretty as it's going to be. I mean, the springtime on most college campuses, in particular ours, is just a special time, and the campus looks beautiful. We have at any given time 10 or 12 staff people on the campus keeping an eye on things. They're doing such a great job. I'm so grateful to them because, the rest of us are staying at home per the executive order to try to help bend this curve, as they keep talking about. But there are a few of our staff members that have no choice but to come in and to check on things and to keep an eye on the campus. The other day, I remarked that our Monmouth University Police Department, who's here every day, keeping an eye on things and helping out people who are on the campus if they need it. And when the governor decided to lower the flags at half staff in honor of all the people that we've lost due to the COVID-19 virus, within, I think, 5 minutes, the flags at Monmouth University were lowered to half staff out of, reference. Or deference, to the governor's order and all the people we've lost. And it's just a satisfying thing for me to see the members of the Monmouth University community come together the way they have during this pandemic.
Yeah, it's been, having, biked up there, I was extremely impressed. And even the quick conversation I had with one of the members of the grounds crew to make the campus look as good as it does right now, it was comforting in a way to kind of see. Let's wrap with this. You and I have kind of kicked around a couple of ideas. And I will tell you, I did a successful test of having multiple people hop on and record a podcast that I did within my house on three different computers. And it did work. I will give you the update. It did work. So I know we've kind of had the idea of maybe having a couple of people join us during the course of the next couple of episodes. We can kind of delve into how other members and areas of the Monmouth University community are dealing with this. So I think that should be a go. If we want to give that a shot, maybe episode 5, we'll start our second month of doing this, and we'll have some fun, and we'll kind of check in with some other people around campus.
Who says you're not a technology guru? I mean, I'm amazed.
Well, listen, we established last week, right? You always go to the youngest person. So I have younger kids at home, and I said, okay, this is what we're going to try. And everybody kind of recorded something, and I was able to put it together. But it did look like it was going to work. So I think you and I can have some fun kind of checking in with some other people over the course of the next couple of weeks.
I mean, I think that'd be really important. I'm pleased we're going to be able to do that. You've been so gracious, Matt, in having me do most of the talking here as we get through the key decisions of this pandemic. I'm very grateful to you for that. But I would love to open it up a little bit more and get some other voices involved, talking not only about this current crisis, but about where Monmouth University is going to head once this crisis subsides. And I would welcome that opportunity to get some other people involved.
Well, it'll be fun. We'll set it up and we'll hopefully have something in the hopper for next week. As always, President Leahy, I appreciate your time kind of talking us through the latest happenings and updates in terms of what's going on with the campus community, all the summer stuff. And as always, I wish you and your family the very best during this time. Enjoy spring break with the kids. It should be nothing but a lot of fun running around the lawn of the president's residence on campus.
I have 2 weeks of spring break coming, 2 weeks with my two younger boys. So we'll have to figure out. There'll be a lot of pickup basketball games out on the out in the driveway. But I wish you, Matt, health and safety during this time. I want to shout out in a special way all of the Monmouth University students and alums who are engaged on the front lines of this healthcare crisis. I'm hearing some really, really inspiring stories, and I want them all to know that their Monmouth University community stands with them during this really, really tough time. One of them wrote to me, and she just signed off, "Monmouth Strong." So I just feel like maybe that's inspiration for all of us.
That sounds like a great episode. We'll be able to spend some time coming up talking about some of those that are Monmouth connected up and working in the front lines. He is President Patrick Leahy. I'm Matt Harmon. Thanks as always for giving us your time. This has been episode 4 of Monmouth Weekly. Look forward to talking to you next week.